dreams for us and is committed to see those come to pass. This week we begin in our study on the book of Hebrews. We also have barbecue and love feast today, so we'll try and rush this up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this journey, all of us, that you have brought us this far in whatever journey we've been, and you are going to see us through. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word, that you are faithful to bring to pass in our lives, our families, our children, all that you promise. We thank you and we praise you. We worship you. Amen. We're going to talk about the book of Hebrews. But we are not going to go into detail today. You want to put the scripture up? Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, gotta get my glasses. Every year the letters are getting smaller. In the past, God has spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. The Bible, as we know, it contains 46 books. Huh? 66 books, and which are divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And my son is very imaginary, so every time we talk about Bible story, he's going all over the place. And many times, it's the mystery for us to see how these two fits together. So we find history, we find poetry, we find letters, the count of people and events. They are recorded by different authors, different times, different cultures. This is, and we see the role of the book of Hebrew. It contains 35 verses that relates back to the Old Testament. It's unique contribution, the book of Hebrew, because it fuses the Old Testament together to the New. The Bible is not these unrelated stories of the Old Testament separated from the New Testament. When we look carefully at the book of Hebrews, we can see the connection intertwined, and how the fulfillment of God's prophecy, how we see God's faithfulness in keeping his promise unfold here in Hebrews in the New Testament. The story of redemption promised thousands and thousands of years ago come into being. as one unified story. And it's amazing that God has revealed in Jesus the fulfillment of his purpose. That Jesus is superior and greater than anything. And that's what the writer is trying to say. Well, let's look at the, I'll try not to be long. Let's look at the theme is ultimately, can I change this? The ultimate revelation of God and the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And it's written to a group of predominantly Jewish Christians. A few years ago, I was following the news of what was going in Syria and the rise of ISIS. And there, as they begin to wage war through the countryside, a few media outlets went over. And there is a village, Christian village, that has a historical tie to Christianity. And as they interview the last villager that is about to leave this place, they've been settling there for more than 2,000 years. But now they've been asked to leave. The setting of this book is to this Jewish Christian. Remember the book of Acts? The pouring out of the Holy Spirit? The majority of those that came, they were Christians, were Jews. Remember the story of Paul persecuting Christians. Stephen, who was stoned to death. They were Jews, they were Christians. Now, the background here is that somewhere, it doesn't say about the location, but it is some believe, majority of scholars believe that this was a small community of Christians and believers somewhere in Rome or Italy. Now, Judaism is legalized. But this new group that call themselves Christians, who were known as a sect that comes out of Judaism, they were not really accepted. You see, in the early church, when we read the book of Acts, you know, Peter and John, they were thrown into prison. They were told, don't ever preach. Talk about this name again. So the letter was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were going through some difficult times. So they've been marginalized. They've been persecuted, not killed yet. Their house been destroyed, property been taken. So these are those who came out of Judaism and they put their faith in this Messiah. And as they begin to grow, the resistance towards growth of Christianity, especially for the Jews, begin to tighten up. Jews, Christian movement, it's not so much that it was underground, that they were meeting in houses secretly in different places. And this letter, this person, we do not know the author. There are many opinions out there regarding who the author was. Some say Barnabas and Apollos, even Priscilla. Some talk about even the early Christian, in the early centuries, they thought it was Paul. But later on, they removed the thought that it was Paul, but the author is anonymous, unknown. But it's believed that this person, whoever he is or she is familiar, surround himself or herself with those who are with Jesus. He's familiar with the theology, the doctrine, and he's writing this letter to the Jews to urge them not to turn away from their faith in Jesus Christ. Because for the Jews, in order to avoid all the persecution, they started moving back to temple worship, back to Judaism. Now, for them to come back to Judaism, what they have to do, they have to publicly deny their faith that Jesus is the Messiah. And it's an easy thing in order to avoid all the hardship. I think about the mothers and their kids who were going through this enormous persecution from the outside. That the only way that they can avoid this is for them to go back to Judaism. And that means that they have to renounce their faith that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So this is a pretty serious stuff. And the author is writing here, urging them. You know, this letter is urgent. As we see, he said, I exhort you, brothers, do not turn away from Christ. And he's reminding them of what Christ has done. And then he began to expound to them the deity of the person that they are rejecting. He said, this Jesus that you are turning away from, he is greater than the angels, far superior and powerful. Yeah. Greater than Moses, the angel that brought the message of God to Moses on the mountain. He's saying he is greater than that. In the past, God used human sources to deliver his words to his people. And now the word of God comes in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He says here, who's the radiant of the glory of God, sustaining all things by his powerful words. And the focus of Hebrew was to bring people to attention, to behold who is this person. If the angel brought a messenger, a message from God for the people, how much more they should pay attention to Christ himself and the message that God has brought us through his son. That to ignore that message is to ignore your salvation. So this message is urgent and critical. So when the author was writing, he said, I exhort you. Yeah, I encourage you with all urgency, Joely. Don't turn your back on Christ. sometimes we lose that sense of urgency. And here, and that's the amazing thing, and then he began to expound the greatness of Christ. This people who were suffering, many have fallen away. Many have gone back to sacrifice, daily sacrifice. Every day they go to the temple and sacrifice. He told them, Christ, the perfect sacrifice, who has paid the debt for your sins, not only for your sins, but the whole of humanity, by laying down his life once and for all. You know, so he said, you don't need to go back every day and sacrifice as atonement. God has paid the price through his son. As a priest, he is greater than all the priests. That's what he's saying. So he's reminding them one by one, relating to the very thing that is very important into the Jewish culture, their tradition, their protocol. And he's pointing at Jesus. He is the priest. Perfect. Didn't come from the line of Aaron. The Jewish priests, the Israeli priests, sometimes they're false in them. They're not perfect. They have to even sacrifice for their own sin. He said, but this one is not. He is the perfect priest. He intercede for you and I. So he's going on. But for us, as I was reading the book of Hebrews, I get excited. Because for us, it's a timely reminder. Sometimes we need to be reminded as Christian on how critical, how important it is, the faith that we profess. A few years ago, I was watching, it came on the news. There were two hikers during winter time up north. They were hiking and they hit a storm. And they were rushing back. They couldn't find the cabin where they're supposed to spend the night. The storm was so strong. So they were moving towards the direction they thought, they believed that this is where the cabin is. But they couldn't find the cabin. And then they came to this tree. They all bundled up, the two of them, and they waited. And that was the end of their lives. So they got cold and freeze to death. And as the authorities came and find and investigate the death, I remember someone said, if they didn't stop, if they just kept going, they would have been alive, because the cabin is just few meters away and they couldn't see. The message of the writer to the Hebrews, you keep going. Do not look back. Keep moving forward. That's the exhortation. You know. Hold fast. Talks about we're running the race. So as we I won't give too much. As we look forward to this semester, we can begin to rethink and reevaluate where we are going. There are so many things in this world nowadays that will distract us, turn us aside, thoughts to compromise. The author of Hebrew He's saying, you keep on going forward. Do not let go of the faith. Hold on to your faith. But he's also said, don't forsake the gathering and meeting together as believers. Cool start, cool background. People facing difficult times. There's a message that comes. Don't give up. I hope there's no one here that is thinking of giving up. Wherever, whatever you're going through today, Hebrews encouraged us from the very beginning that Christ, that God in the person of Jesus Christ has come to you and I. The one who sustained all things with his power and his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the exhortation. Sometimes we need to be reminded how critical our journey is. We want to thank you for the sacrifice you did for us. I want to pray for those of us who feel like that we are distracted. Those of us who feel that we are going through some tough times, the burdens that we are carrying. And we want to thank you for the encouragement that you are the one, you are the fulfillment of all promises. We pray that same exhortation that we will hearken into. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. I'm going to invite us.